Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pierce Homer is here. And, you know, this Navy Hill development, a $1.5 billion proposal for downtown Richmond has been the marquee project of Mayor LeVar Stoney since he took office. We've been talking about this for about 2 years now, and things are really down to the wire. We think Richmond City Council will be trying to vote on this one way or the other in February. And for the past several months, there's been a group of experts in different areas of finance, development, tourism, government, volunteers that have been putting in a lot of time to study the Navy Hill development proposal so that they can provide a recommendation to City Council. They've had 9 work sessions, seen 25 technical presentations, held public meetings, had a website, gone through 1,000 pages of ordinances, really some in-depth work here. And it's all resulted in a conclusion report that's going to be presented to Richmond City Council on Monday. So I wanted to ask Pierce Homer to come on, former Secretary of Transportation, and the guy who was the chairman of this commission and has been through hours and hours of meetings. Good morning, Pierce.
Hey, good morning, Jason. How are you?
I am fine. I'm sure you were ready to take your holiday break after you turned in this report, right?
We're thankful it was on the 23rd and not the 26th. So it was a good deadline.
Yeah. And I have to say, you know, just since I was mentioning some of the work that went into this, I think, you know, wherever you fall, and this is a controversial project, but wherever you fall on this project, I think that the commission itself was really a model for how the public can go about studying some of these things, and a model for transparency. I mean, notes were posted, meetings were recorded. You can access anything you want that happened in this commission. And at the same time, you all say you're going to serve as a resource. You're not just simply dissolving. You hand in your report and you leave. You all are going to be a resource to elected officials as they see this through.
Yeah, and thank you for mentioning that. I want to have special kudos to our vice chairman, John Gerner, who set up the website. He was our Freedom of Information officer. He is a professional consultant in the area of entertainment and leisure facilities. And he's also developed on that website, you'll see, and it's at NavyHillCommission.org, a financial model that he developed in conformance with the city and industry standards that the public can access and look at if they choose different scenarios, maybe more aggressive, maybe less aggressive, of the financial side of this, which is a big, big part of this project. So I want to really have a shout out for John. And as you mentioned, the overall transparency and civility of this group, we had a variety of opinions, and not everyone agreed with every conclusion and recommendation, but it was a unanimous vote for the final report. And I think that's a tribute to the citizens who worked so hard on this project.
And Pierce, you know, I think what else is interesting, we were just talking about at the General Assembly, some of the transparency issues they're working on to have recorded votes on things the public can look to. And in your final report, Even people who, you know, you say where you disagreed on points, I thought it was so interesting that the arguments are laid out. Like, here is why these people agreed. For the folks who didn't agree, here's why. And you can really follow along, follow the arguments. It's quite fair to every side.
Yeah, well, thank you again for saying that. We worked long and hard to achieve that. And I think those narratives are extremely interesting. And you know, I know you want to talk about the recommendations of the report. But I would also say at the very end of the report, there are a list of suggestions for things that could be done, you know, to improve either the ordinance or the project or the overall process for it. So there's really a soup to nuts consideration of the project, as well as things that could be done constructively to improve the overall process and project itself.
Yeah, and I hope that elected officials, and I hope this will serve as a good resource and for making those improvements. I was reading, you know, to the RFP process, the different ordinances, to how these proposals are put together. So I hope that sees the light of day. And before we get to some of the bottom line conclusions and the things that you're going to be talking about on Monday, I wonder, from your perspective, as you sat through all these meetings and heard from the developers and the public, was there anything that surprised you? Any new revelations or arguments or changes that were made that maybe wouldn't have come out if it weren't for the work of this commission?
Well, I think, and I hesitate to say this, but I think to me, one of the big challenges, we had asked a number of questions about some of the revenue estimates, and we asked the city, well, did you guys do independent analysis or due diligence on some of these revenue projections? And they said, no, they had not. That was a big surprise to me personally. Now, that may not have been to other commissioners, but it was to me. That's kind of a fundamental responsibility of a jurisdiction to double check everything. And we found in our own due diligence, there were some holes. Nobody's perfect and nobody's pointing fingers, but on a project this big, you really have to have multiple layers of review, accountability, and transparency to have a good project that people can buy into.
One of the things I have been surprised by, and we saw this just this week in an interview with the mayor, who's put in favor of this project and believes it will be a good solution, a good investment in the future for Richmond, and a lot of people agree with him. But one of the lines we've heard from the beginning is that, is this going to help schools or hurt schools? Is this going to help us raise money for schools that are in desperate need of it? That was an issue that we've talked about in Richmond for decades now, an issue that a lot of people thought it was kind of concluded during the mayor's campaign, that we would get into these nuts and bolts issues of our core services. The other argument being that we do need projects like this to bring in that revenue. And the line we've heard over and over is that this project, the new Coliseum and all the surrounding development, will bring in $30 million for Richmond Public School, or sorry, $60 million for Richmond Public Schools over the next 30 years. And I may have that figure wrong, but it is my understanding that this is nothing that can be put in writing. It's nothing you can guarantee because of the way our legislation is, or the laws are. It's nothing that can be verified or predicted with any accuracy. And I find it misleading for people who are pushing this project to continue to say that, knowing that it's not really true. What did you all find out about that topic, about how much money we might get for Richmond Public Schools?
Okay. So, Jason, actually, one of the majority findings, so a majority of commissioners found that the project does put Richmond City Public School funding at risk. We were unable to put a hard dollar amount on that because when you look at over 30 years, there are so many moving pieces. Part of the support for that position goes to the school board, which voted, again, 7-2, to have the ability to opt out of the tax increment financing district or to be made whole by it. And that's based on the experience in a number of other states and jurisdictions around the country, the states of Illinois, and California, and Indiana, and Maryland, where tax increment financing really caps the growth of revenues that go to general and schools. And so the school board wanted to protect their interests here. When we looked at it as a commission, we found the possibility of three disparate impacts on the school division. The first would be increased student enrollment, so there would be costs, and that's, you know, that may be a good thing to have, you know, mixed use that has more students, but about 300 students does create the need for new school seats and operational costs associated with that. That's about $7,000 per pupil. The second thing we found is that a sharp increase in assessed value could, and I just say could, affect the state funding. And this has been a problem in other states, in particular Maryland, where these types of developments can affect the school funding plan, which are very complicated, and they look at, you know, the ability to pay. So that would be a second diminution of school funding. And then, of course, the third thing is the capping of the real estates in our downtown area, which, you know, both the city government and the schools, they need that growth just to keep up with inflation and general operational expenses, and they would be cut off from those. So if you look at school funding on a year-by-year basis, as opposed to lumping everything together over 30 years, more than likely you're going to have the conclusion, boy, that puts our school funding at risk, and that's what a majority of commissioners found.
The majority also found, and the bottom line of this as we end our time here, the majority of commissioners did not find the proposed, this is from the report, did not find the proposed publicly financed $300 million arena a sound and reasonable public investment in the redevelopment of downtown. And I know that the developers weighed in on this report saying that they disagreed that the commission had didn't have enough information and said that meant some of these conclusions were inconclusive. What did you make of their response to your report?
Well, first, I would point to the qualifications of the commission. As you pointed out, these are not appointed by district. These are very talented professionals who rendered their professional opinion. I personally have dealt with scores of proposals like this, as did several members of the commission. You know, personally, I believe that the development team would be well served by listening to the commission, perhaps adapting, to it, because I think that is a very simple conclusion that $300 million of public funding has got to come from somewhere. And some of it, yes, would be borne by the new development, but some of it would not. And that affects school funding and really calls into question the validity of that investment as it's currently structured. And I would also say in closing, it's likely that, you know, there are ways to have minimized or eliminated that risk to school funding, but that was not something that is true in the proposal as it's currently structured. And that's, again, the majority of the commission believes that.
Pierce Holmer, I know so many people are appreciative of the work you and your team did. Thanks so much for being here today. If you want to read the full report, you can go to NavyHillCommission.org. Lots of resources there. And Pierce and the commission will be at Monday's meeting of the Richmond City Council to answer questions and really present this more in depth. Thanks so much, Pierce. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Jason.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.